Hey, are you looking for a true crime podcast to binge?
Check out True Crime Obsessed, where we recap the true crime documentaries everyone's talking about.
We've been one of the top true crime podcasts for almost 9 years.
And we have over 400 episodes for you to check out right now.
We cover the cases everyone is talking about, and we also highlight the cases that have been underreported, overlooked, or forgotten.
With over 30,000 five-star reviews on Apple Podcasts, if you've never checked out True Crime Obsessed, now's the time to give us a try.
Find True Crime Obsessed wherever you get your podcasts. Welcome, everyone, to Inside the Case. I'm Kinsey Durbin, former host of your favorite true crime podcast, Crimeaholics. Join me as I venture into a new journey fighting for justice here on Inside the Case. This is where we will dive into the haunting stories of the missing and murdered that have shaken small, tight-knit communities to their core. On Inside the Case, together, we will explore the tangled webs of suspicion, the red herrings, and the breakthroughs that bring hope to those that have been left behind. Together, we will journey into the heart of darkness, seeking answers, demanding justice, and shining light on the faces that have vanished but will never be forgotten. Kingsport, Tennessee is a charming city nestled in the northeast corner of the state, blending small-town warmth with a rich industrial heritage. Known for its scenic beauty, it sits along the Holston River and is surrounded by the beautiful Appalachian Mountains. The city has a very vibrant community with a stronghold on outdoor activities, with lots of parks and nearby attractions like Warriors Path State Park that many people in the town frequent. Kingsport also has a big cultural scene with a lot of the local festivals, museums, and historic sites giving life to the local experience. Its historic downtown area features a blend of small shops, dining options, and a welcoming atmosphere, making it a rather unique and inviting place to visit or even call home. However, what the outsiders do not know is that Kingsport and Rogersville, two neighboring towns in Tennessee, are covered in a veil of unsettling mystery due to their dark histories of unsolved disappearances and murders. Despite their picturesque setting among those beautiful rolling hills and gorgeous landscapes, both towns have been forever known as the towns with grim incidents that cast long shadows over their communities. Kingsport, with its beautiful river views, and Rogersville, known for its historic charm, both have struggled with unresolved cases that linger through their streets. These secrets continue to haunt the locals, leaving a chilling reminder of the mysteries that lie beneath their peaceful facade. In 2021, I traveled out to Rogersville to work with the family and those closest to Evelyn Boswell, who was a beautiful 15-month-old little girl who was murdered by her very own mother, Megan Boswell, there in Rogersville, just a few years prior to Layla Santantello's disappearance. I would be surprised to find out that 3 years later, I would be returning to the area in 2024. On a humid June evening in 2023 in Kingsport, Tennessee, you could hear the buzzing cicadas and the laughter of the children far in the distance playing at the park. This is a tranquil atmosphere, but all of that was shattered when 20-year-old Layla Marie Santantello, a mother with a bright future ahead, vanished without a trace. But before I get too into the details surrounding Layla's disappearance, let's back up and find out who Layla Marie Santantello is. On August 5th, 2002, the serene surroundings of Neptune Township, New Jersey, were filled with excitement as Jennifer Santantello and George Emmett welcomed their spirited daughter Layla Marie into the world. For the first 3 months of her life, the home was a place of shared joy and love. However, the harmony was disrupted when her parents decided to part ways. As a single mother, her mom knew she needed the support of family to help raise Layla while she worked to build a new life for them. With a heavy heart, but a hopeful spirit, she packed up their belongings and left the home and enlisted the help of Layla's grandparents. Though the decision was difficult on Jennifer, her grandparents were thrilled to have Layla regularly and eagerly embrace their new role in her life. Jennifer worked late nights as a waitress, leaving Layla in the care of her grandparents. Those nights and those evenings with them became the bedrock of Layla's childhood, and the bond they formed was incredibly strong. Her grandparents became everything to her. Their presence was a constant source of comfort and joy for Layla. Eventually, Jennifer would meet someone special, and soon their lives would take another turn. In 2005, Jennifer, her boyfriend, and Layla packed up and moved to sunny Florida for a fresh new start. However, the three of them would not be in Florida very long, as a year later, they moved to Tennessee to be closer to her boyfriend's family due to Jennifer giving birth to Layla's first sibling, her little brother, Robbie. Every summer for 6 weeks in Layla's childhood, she would eagerly pack her bags for her favorite girl's summer camp in the scenic hills of New Jersey. The camp was her sanctuary, a place where her vibrant spirit truly showed. Layla, with her infectious smile and boundless energy, had a knack for lighting up any room that she walked into. Her days were filled with a whirlwind of activities, but her heart truly belonged to theater, singing, and art. Whether she was belting out her favorite songs, bringing characters to life on stage, or immersing herself in creative projects, her passion was absolutely unmistakable. According to her mom, Jennifer, she has this unique ability to weave her humor into every interaction, effortlessly making her friends laugh with her clever jokes and all of her playful antics. Layla's laughter is truly a melody in itself, one that could brighten even the gloomiest days. And her bubbly personality has made her a cherished friend and a source of joy for every person around her. Layla's summers were filled with adventure and a lot of cherished memories, but not just from her time at camp in New Jersey, but also from the moments she spent with her grandparents there and her father, George. George, who had been a very important part of her life, welcomed another daughter into the family, giving Layla a new sibling to bond with. But the growth of her family didn't stop there. When Layla was 8 years old, her life took another exciting turn with the arrival of her little brother, Elijah, born to her mother, Jennifer. The arrival of Elijah brought even more joy into Layla's life, but it also meant big changes were on the horizon. To help Jennifer balance her responsibilities and return to work, Layla's grandparents made the heartfelt decision to relocate to Tennessee. Their move was driven by a desire to be able to be closer to their growing grandchildren and to provide Jennifer with the support that she very much needed. After Layla's grandparents moved to Tennessee, it felt like a fresh start that sparked something vibrant within inside of her. Surrounded by their warmth and encouragement from all of her family, she began to truly embrace her creative side. Layla dove headfirst into all of the drama clubs, loving the thrill of the performance, and spent hours on her love for decorating, truly transforming it into a canvas for her own imagination. Music also became a very big sanctuary for her as she learned to play several instruments, each note resonating with her newfound confidence. As a very natural gift giver, Layla loved sharing her artwork with family, pouring her heart into each piece as a way to express her love and gratitude. In this very nurturing environment, she blossomed, discovering the joy of creativity that connected her to those she cherished most. However, things for Layla would begin to take a downward change. Layla's early teen years were marked by the profound loss of a strong male figure when her mother and her boyfriend broke up. This upheaval left her feeling the absence of stability, which then fueled a rebellious streak that manifested in her defiance and risky choices. The struggles she faced seemed to pile up, creating an emotional weight that was often too difficult to bear. Layla found herself caught in a whirlwind of anger, confusion, and she was pushing away friends and family as she grappled with all of these really hard feelings. It was a challenging time where each day felt like an uphill battle for her, leaving her searching for direction in a world that often felt increasingly chaotic. However, everything began to shift for Layla when she turned 17. With a newfound resolve, she redirected her energy towards her studies, recognizing that education could offer her a path for a brighter future. This focus ends up paying off as she graduated high school early, which was a testament to her determination and all of her hard work. Entering the workforce soon after this, Layla found a sense of purpose and independence that eluded her in previous years. While her journey wasn't without its challenges, each accomplishment helped rebuild her confidence and sense of self-worth, paving the way for all of Layla's new beginnings. Not long after Layla stepped closer into adulthood, her father married Brittany, a transition that initially brought reservations. Layla was hesitant about opening her heart to a new stepmom, fearing the potential for more change and uncertainty. However, as time passed, both Layla and Brittany made a conscious effort to build a relationship based on understanding and trust. Through shared family activities and open communication, they gradually grew closer, with every member of Layla's family committed to nurturing a healthy, blended dynamic. What the newly blended family did not know is that soon they would be gaining another new addition to the family. Layla had always envisioned herself as a mother, dreaming of the day she would cradle her own baby in her arms. When she learned that she was pregnant at 18 with her beautiful baby girl, Nova Grace, her heart overflowed with joy. The moment she held Nova for the first time, all her dreams crystallized into a single profound reality. She was a mother. With those tiny little fingers wrapped around her own, Layla felt an overwhelming sense of purpose and love that filled her with a determination to create a nurturing environment for her daughter. Every day had brought its own challenges, but the sparkle in Nova's eyes reminded Layla of the beauty in their journey together. However, the path ahead wasn't what Layla had imagined. The father of Nova Grace made the decision to step away from their lives, leaving Layla to navigate motherhood on her own. Initially, fear crept in as she questioned whether she could do this alone. But instead of succumbing to worry, she chose to lean on her strong family unit, who rallied around her with unwavering support. Her parents and grandparents stepped in, offering their time, love, and guidance, assuring her that she would never have to face this journey alone. Their collective strength became a lifeline, reminding Layla that she wasn't just a single mother. She was part of a loving, extended family. But Layla's family would be shocked to find out shortly after becoming a mother, Layla begins to struggle with addiction. Layla had always been a pillar of strength for her family and friends, but after the birth of Nova Grace, the weight of postpartum depression began to seep into her life. It felt like a fog that blurred the joy that she had once anticipated. To make matters worse, the loss of her grandfather, who she had a very strong bond with and was one of her biggest supporters, left an irreplaceable void inside of Layla. His passing felt like the final straw, tipping her into a darkness she never expected to encounter. The combination of these profound struggles felt insurmountable, and Layla found herself spiraling into a year-long battle with substance addiction, seeking solace in substances that she had once strongly opposed. As Layla's addiction deepened, her family watched with struggle, grappling with a reality that they couldn't have anticipated. This was not the Layla they knew, the girl who had once sacrificed relationships to distance herself from drugs and who had even dedicated herself to helping her boyfriend Michael detox from his own struggles. The irony of her situation was painfully stark. She had spent so much energy supporting others, yet now she was fighting the same battle. Her family's heartache has been compounded by the fact that despite their pleas, they have always worried that Layla's missing persons case would be overshadowed by her struggles. They fear that her addiction struggles would diminish the urgency of finding her. Yet, amid the chaos, Layla's family has remained unwavering in their love and support, determined to bring attention to her missing persons case. They knew that her battle with addiction was one that was not a reflection of her character, but rather a tragic turn in her life. One that had shocked them all. However, they all rallied together and their mission has been clear: to find Layla and show the world that even the strongest individuals could face overwhelming challenges, and that every life, regardless of its struggles, is deserving of love and deserving of her missing persons case being brought to global attention.
Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds. With that kind of money, you could go
big time
on a fancy water bottle
with ultra-titanium alloy metal.
You're not sure why you need all that. I mean, it just holds water.
But you're getting it anyway. Because if you're hiking near an active volcano and you accidentally drop the bottle into molten lava, your water will still be icy cold. Switch to Progressive and you could save big time for water bottles. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates. Not available in all states. Potential savings will vary.
Hey, are you looking for a true crime podcast to binge?
Check out True Crime Obsessed, where we recap the true crime documentaries everyone's talking about.
We've been one of the top true crime podcasts for almost 9 years.
And we have over 400 episodes for you to check out right now.
We cover the cases everyone is talking about, and we also highlight the cases that have been underreported, overlooked, or forgotten.
With over 30,000 five-star reviews on Apple Podcasts, if you've never checked out True Crime Obsessed, now's the time to give us a try.
Find True Crime Obsessed wherever you get your podcasts.
And now that you have a great feel for who Layla is, let's deep dive into her disappearance. On June 24th, 2003, Jennifer was enjoying a quiet Saturday morning when a notification from Facebook Messenger caught her attention. It was a message from her daughter Layla's account, but as she read it, her heart raced with the confusion and dread. The message was unsettling, as it was not from Layla, but rather from her boyfriend Michael, who was frantically asking if Jennifer knew whether Layla was in jail. Bewildered, Jennifer typed back, "Why would Layla be in jail? Where is she? Why aren't you with her?" As the seconds ticked by, panic began to grip her. Michael was not responding. And when she followed up by mentioning that she had called Kingsport and Sullivan County jails, only to find out that Layla was not there, a chill ran down her spine. Something felt incredibly wrong. The unsettling nature of Michael's messages lingered in Jennifer's mind. The day before, Layla and Michael had argued, and Layla had left their shared home to cool off. It was a minor disagreement, but it clearly had upset her. She hadn't told Michael where she was going, and Jennifer couldn't shake the feeling that this argument had spiraled into something much more concerning. At this time, Layla's baby girl, Nova Grace, was in the temporary custody of Jennifer. So as she lays there with Nova Grace tucked into bed, she tried to convince herself that Layla was safe and would return home soon. Jennifer went to sleep that night, believing that her daughter would reach out when she was ready. The following morning on June 25th, Jennifer awoke to a new message from Layla's account. Relief washed over her as she read the words, "I'm okay, Mom, I'm fine." The message eased some of her anxiety, but the curiosity nagged at her. She quickly asked her daughter why Michael thought she was in jail, and Layla replied with, "She just didn't know," explaining that she was staying with a friend and she didn't have her own phone, so she was borrowing somebody else's to send the messages. The two of them exchanged loving words before parting for the day, and for Jennifer, this brief connection reinforced her belief that Layla was safe, and she felt a small weight lift from her heart. However, a growing sense of unease has remained in the background for quite some time. Questions swirled around the timing of the messages, particularly about the first message from Michael. How could anyone be sure that the later messages were genuinely from Layla? Many people would later express a lot of skepticism, wondering how it was possible for Layla's account to be used in such a way, and did those messages from Layla actually come from Michael? Despite the questions and a lot of confusion, law enforcement later confirmed that the messages on the 25th indeed did come from Layla herself, as they were able to be traced from her friend's home. And because Michael had access to Layla's account, during the time of Layla and Jennifer exchanging those messages, Jennifer chose not to ask for her location, knowing the tension between the two of them after their argument on the 24th. She didn't want to risk revealing Layla's whereabouts to Michael, preferring instead to let her daughter decide when to communicate that information herself. Jennifer believed that Layla just needed some time to cool off and was convinced that she would return home within a day or two. However, the next day on June 26th, the atmosphere shifted dramatically. Jennifer received a new message from Layla's account, but this time it was not Layla writing. Michael's frantic messages shattered Jennifer's fragile sense of security. He claimed he had figured out where Layla was staying and had gone to visit, but she was nowhere to be found. The friend that he spoke to had told him that Layla had went out for a smoke and a walk and hadn't returned. Panic gripped Jennifer as Michael continued stating he had called all of their mutual friends and even local hospitals, but no one had seen or heard from Layla. The helplessness was overwhelming. She could feel the ground slipping beneath her feet as her mind raced through all of the worst possibilities. Desperate to piece together the puzzle, Jennifer reached out to a family member who had mutual friends with Layla. The response was disheartening. The family member had not seen or heard from Layla either. Worry settled in Jennifer's stomach as she dialed Layla's father, George, and her stepmother, Brittany. Their voices echoed her own fears. They had also not heard from Layla and were equally concerned. Though Jennifer's instinct urged her to act quickly, she hesitated, believing she needed to wait the full 48 hours before filing a missing persons report. The dread of not knowing where their daughter was gnawed at her, but the idea of jumping the gun made her pause. Meanwhile, George and Brittany, unable to sit by idly, decided to not wait. They called the police to report Layla missing, conveying their concerns and sharing information that they had gathered. Around midnight on June 27th, the official missing persons report was filed, prompting immediate action from law enforcement. Officers began their investigation by visiting the home where Michael and Layla had been staying, questioning anyone who might have seen or heard from Layla in the days leading up to her disappearance. With each passing moment, the urgency of the situation heightened and Jennifer's heart raced as she waited for updates. As the hours turned into a blur, Jennifer clung to hope. She knew that the police were working diligently to find Layla, but the weight of uncertainty pressed heavily on her heart, worrying what if she never saw her daughter again. On June 27th, after Layla is officially a missing persons, local law enforcement officers wasted no time and began canvassing the neighborhood and reaching out to potential witnesses. Tips began to flow in, and after several hours of interviews, they received their first credible piece of information. Layla had been seen the night before at the Americourt Hotel in Kingsport, Tennessee. While this news wasn't entirely surprising because many locals had frequented the hotel, it was the peculiar details surrounding her visit that caught the police's attention. Witnesses described Layla as being visibly frantic and knocking on multiple hotel room doors as if she was desperately trying to locate someone. The witnesses reported that Layla appeared paranoid, her demeanor raising alarms about her state of mind. The hotel staff even recalled her behavior as erratic, and it was clear to the officers that something was wrong. Surveillance footage from the hotel confirmed Layla's presence, but like most security systems, the footage was automatically deleted after 2 days, leaving the police reliant on witness statements. One hotel employee even revealed that they had threatened to add Layla to a trespassing list, despite her claim that she was staying with a friend. This further fueled the mystery surrounding her disappearance. As it suggested, Layla was in a vulnerable situation and perhaps felt unwelcomed at this hotel. The police came up with this theory that Layla was indeed trying to find her friend, which explained her frantic knocking. The absence of her having a cell phone to reach out for help made the situation all more desperate. As they continued to piece together the timeline, Layla's family recalled that after being yelled at by the hotel worker, she likely became frightened, especially when a police car pulled up to the hotel shortly afterward. Unbeknownst to her, the officers were there for an unrelated matter, but Layla interpreted this presence as a reason for her to flee. They thought that the fear likely drove her to leave the area without seeking assistance, and this was heartbreaking for her family, knowing that she was in such a vulnerable situation and she had nobody to turn to. As the investigation progressed, another witness came forward revealing a critical lead. Nearby the Americourt Hotel is an empty field, and just beyond that empty field is a homeless camp, and it was rumored that Layla had sought refuge there the night after leaving the hotel. This new information really weighed heavily on the hearts of her parents. Another witness, who was an employee at a warehouse adjacent to both the hotel and the homeless camp, reported that Layla approached him and his coworker asking for a cigarette on the morning of June 27th. Neither of them had any cigarettes to give her, and Layla had walked away, disappearing again into the streets. This sighting was both a glimmer of hope and a cause for concern. It confirmed that Layla was still in the area, but also very much heightened her vulnerability. In the days following Layla's disappearance on June 27th, new information emerged that sparked a flicker of hope for her family and law enforcement. A witness came forward with a potential sighting of a woman matching Layla's description outside of the Marble Slab Creamery, an ice cream shop that is located within the East Stone Commons in Kingsport, Tennessee. This sighting was particularly intriguing as it was only a 20-minute walk from the empty field where Layla had last been seen earlier that same day, asking the workers for a cigarette. The witness described the woman as wearing a white tank top and appearing lost, disoriented, and a bit disheveled. The sighting seemed plausible, fitting into the timeline of Layla's frantic movements since she had gone missing. The witness recounted a brief but significant interaction with this woman. This woman approached her barefoot and asked if she could use her phone. This detail resonated with law enforcement, who knew that Layla had been without a cell phone since her disappearance. The witness noticed that after asking for the phone, the woman had mentioned that she planned to walk to the nearby store called Five Below to buy a pair of shoes. This piece of information was a ray of hope for investigators. Police began canvassing the area, hoping to find surveillance footage or additional witnesses who might have seen Layla during this crucial time. However, as the investigation unfolded, the promising lead took a disappointing turn. After interviewing various individuals, the police discovered that the woman spotted outside the ice cream shop was not Layla at all. Instead, she was a local woman who just happened to closely resemble Layla. This was a fact that really deflated the hopes of Jennifer and the investigators. Her family and investigators were back to square one, and what would happen next would leave her family feeling shaken up. As the search for Layla continued to stall after two credible leads fizzled out, her family faced a chilling new development that would plunge them deeper into despair. One day, Jennifer received a notification that sent her heart racing. A money request from Layla's Cash App account for $100. Confused and anxious, she called Layla's stepmother, Brittany, to share the unsettling news. It felt surreal that amongst the chaos and uncertainty of Layla's disappearance, someone managed to gain access to her account. As the requests continued to pour in, each one more alarming than the last, Jennifer couldn't shake the feeling that this was not just a bizarre coincidence. The nature of these messages suggested something far more sinister. It seemed as if whoever was behind these requests was holding Layla hostage, demanding money in exchange for her safety. The family took some time to analyze the messages, deciphering the meanings behind an acronym that really sent chills down their spine. The acronym TWLMG. They believed it stood for They Won't Let Me Go, and it reinforced their growing fear that Layla was in grave danger. As more of these requests escalated, so did the tone of the messages. One particularly horrifying message threatened, "Send the money within 15 minutes or you will find her in pieces." Each new notification felt like a dagger to Jennifer's heart, plunging her deeper into a nightmare from which she feared would be no awakening. In a state of desperation and fear, Jennifer started sending small amounts of money back to Layla's Cash App account, hoping against odds that it would elicit a response. She included frantic questions asking, "Is Layla alive?" and other personal questions that only her daughter would know. In an attempt to take action, Jennifer contacted the police, hoping they would recognize the seriousness of this situation. However, the officers were pretty skeptical, dismissing the incident and saying that it's basically a potential scam. They assured Jennifer they would look into it, but their casual demeanor left her feeling more isolated and fear. The family remained on high alert, holding on to the slimmest threads of hope that these messages might lead them to Layla. But the police's indifference weighed heavily on their hearts. Days passed, and the requests from Layla's Cash App suddenly stopped, leaving Jennifer feeling as if she had been plunged back into a hole of uncertainty. Weeks turned into a blur for Layla's family, who were reeling from the trauma of her disappearance and the unsettling ransom request sent from her Cash App account. Although the police originally wrote off their concerns and said that these were likely to be a scam, they did look into where the request originated from. Her family was shocked and absolutely floored to find out the information that Layla's boyfriend Michael had gained access to her Cash App account. He was the one who was sending the request to her family. This enraged her mother, Jennifer, as it would any other mother. Since finding out this information, her boyfriend Michael has been looked into closer, but the local police have said on several occasions that they do not believe that Michael is directly linked to her disappearance, but that he would be held accountable for sending the request on Cash App. Feeling defeated and back to square one yet again, her family became determined to bring attention to her case. They worked tirelessly to spread the word about Layla's disappearance. They hung flyers across Kingsport, they hired a private investigator to explore every lead, and turned to social media to amplify their message. Every post that Jennifer had was a plea for help and a desperate attempt to keep Layla's name in the public eye, hoping that somewhere someone had seen her. As time wore on, and despite their efforts, Layla at this point was not yet considered a missing endangered person. It wasn't until August 3rd, over 6 weeks after her disappearance, that her case finally gained the recognition it desperately needed. The Tennessee Bureau of Investigation became involved, but they did not bring any new information to the table. The local police were still operating under the false assumption that Layla's last confirmed sighting was at the Marble Slab Creamery, unaware that the woman seen there was not Layla at all. This misinformation hindered their search, leaving the family feeling more frustrated and helpless as they watched the clock tick away with precious time. On August 5th, the day Layla turned 21, her family held a candlelight vigil in her honor, hoping that the gathering would generate more media coverage and keep her story alive in the hearts of the community. Friends, family, and even strangers came together in a sea of flickering candles and tearful prayers, united in their shared hope for Layla's safe return. The vigil served as a reminder of the love that surrounded her, but it also deepened the ache in Jennifer's heart as she celebrated a milestone without her daughter. The emotional toll of the situation weighed heavily on her, but yet she promised to remain steadfast, believing that Layla could still be found. Shortly after the vigil, on August 15th, a coordinated effort was launched involving 12 different agencies dedicated to searching for Layla. They focused on the open field near the AmeriCorps Hotel where Layla had last been seen, and they expanded their search to the Green Belt Trail, which was a popular bike and running path that led back to the East Stone Commons. Despite their hopes, the ground search yielded nothing. Over 300 acres of land were searched with canine units and underwater sonar technology, which would help in the effort. Each moment spent searching was filled with a mix of determination and desperation as her family and volunteers clung to the hope that they would uncover something, anything, that might lead them to Layla. As the days turned into weeks without any new leads, the emotional toll on Layla's family became increasingly evident. Each failed search felt like a punch to the gut, each moment of silence a stark reminder of the uncertainty that they faced. Yet, they refused to give up hope. They continued to share Layla's story, to advocate for her, and to fight for her name to be remembered. In the face of despair, Jennifer drew strength from the love surrounding her, vowing to do everything in her power to bring her daughter home. The search for Layla had transformed from a police investigation into a community crusade, a testament to the bonds of family and friendship that refused to let Layla be forgotten. As the weeks have now turned into months since Layla's disappearance, her family found themselves grappling with an agonizing sense of helplessness. They were frustrated by the slow pace of the investigation, feeling that each day without information was another day lost in the search for their daughter. By November 2023, 5 months after Layla went missing, they decided to take matters into their own hands once more. They enlisted the help of a private investigator named Steve Fisher, who had a reputation for thoroughness and dedication. Together, they organized a ground search in their community, hoping that fresh eyes and new energy could uncover leads that law enforcement may have accidentally missed. The search, however, ended up being another gut-wrenching disappointment. Volunteers searched parks, back roads, and other familiar areas, hoping to find any sign of Layla. Despite their best efforts and the support of the community, the search yielded no new evidence. It was a gut-wrenching reminder of how elusive Layla had become. In the aftermath of the search, the family had decided to hold a second candlelight vigil for her, determined to keep her memory alive. But as they stood among the flickering candles, they were confronted by an unsettling realization. The majority of their community had no idea that a young girl was missing from their very own town. This revelation hit them hard, intensifying their resolve to spread the word about Layla's case. As the candlelit vigil continued that evening, Layla's family learned of another troubling twist. A second girl from their community, Holland Snap, had also gone missing. Holland, just 19 years old, had disappeared on October 15, 2023, only 4 months after Layla's own disappearance. The similarities between the two cases were striking. Both girls were young, had social circles that intertwined, and had struggled with substance abuse issues. However, law enforcement was adamant that the two cases were not connected, a stance that left both families feeling frustrated and confused. The notion that their daughters' cases might be isolated seemed surreal, especially as they navigated the troubled realities of their situations. Despite police assertions, the families of Layla and Holland formed an unexpected bond, united by their shared grief and determination to seek answers. They began to support one another, attending vigils and sharing information about respective searches that they have done. This alliance has offered a sense of solidarity that was both comforting and empowering to both of them. Together, they have campaigned for more media attention and resources, believing that raising awareness could help both families find the truth about their daughters. As they have worked side by side, the shared experience of loss became a rallying point, fueling their quest for justice. Over 1 year has passed since Layla went missing, yet her mother, Jennifer, clings fiercely to hope. Jennifer believes with every fiber of her being that Layla is still alive, perhaps taken against her will by someone who has no intention of letting her go. Determined not to let her daughter's name fade into obscurity, Jennifer has taken to social media, particularly TikTok, using the platform to share Layla's story far and wide. Each post is a heartfelt plea and a way to keep Layla's face in the public eye and to remind the world that she is still out there waiting for someone to find her. Jennifer's tendency has drawn in a supportive community, all united by the hope of bringing Layla home. One day, as of recently, as Jennifer was scrolling through messages and comments, a particular tip caught her attention. Someone might have spotted Layla in Union City, Georgia, a suburb of Atlanta. The tipster had sent a photo taken in a grocery store parking lot, and when Jennifer looked closely, her heart raced. The woman in the picture bore a striking resemblance to Layla, right down to the unique way she wore her hair. In that moment, Jennifer felt a surge of adrenaline. This could be the lead that they had been waiting for. Without hesitation, she gathered her family and made the drive to Union City, fueled by hope and the possibility that they might be finally bringing Layla home. However, after several days of searching and asking questions in the community, Jennifer's heart sank. Each corner they turned seemed to lead them further from the truth, and despite their efforts, they were no closer to finding Layla. The dream of reuniting with her daughter has been overshadowed by the painful reality that someone was out there possibly holding her captive. Jennifer, however, has not wavered. She has remained steadfast in her belief that Layla is alive and needs help. As they returned home, Jennifer has continued her tireless campaign, reminding everyone of Layla's story, sharing her face and calling on the public to assist in the search. As of today, September 20th, 2024, Layla Sanatello is still missing. but Jennifer is determined to ensure that she will never be forgotten, believing with all of her heart that the right piece of information will eventually lead to Layla's safe return to her family and her baby girl, Nova Grace. If you have any information about the disappearance of Layla Marie Sanatello, you are highly encouraged to call the Kingsport Police Department at 423-299-9429 or 423-246-9111. Or you can reach out to her mother, Jennifer Sanatello, on her Facebook or on her TikTok platform. If you haven't already, you are more than welcome to join me on the Inside the Case podcast discussion group on Facebook, or you can follow me on Instagram at thisiskenzie, K-E-N-Z-I underscore, for updates on Layla's case. This concludes the second episode of Inside the Case, where ordinary streets hide extraordinary stories.
Are you looking for a true crime podcast to binge?
Check out True Crime Obsessed, where we recap the true crime documentaries everyone's talking about.
We've been one of the top true crime podcasts for almost 9 years.
And we have over 400 episodes for you to check out right now.
We cover the cases everyone is talking about, and we also highlight the cases that have been underreported, overlooked, or forgotten.
With over 30,000 five-star reviews on Apple Podcasts, if you've never checked out True Crime Obsessed, now's the time to give us a try.
Find True Crime Obsessed wherever you get your podcasts.